Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation podcast in association with Hort Week, the industry's leading trade title.
This podcast is brought to you with the help of our sponsor, More People, the market leaders for professional recruitment across the UK and internationally. They specialise in horticulture, fresh produce, food, agriculture, and garden and leisure sectors. For more information, please visit morepeople.co.uk.
It's like a different world. You'd open the garden gate, you know, this big, old, lovely Art Deco 1900s gate, and as soon as you swung it open, it was like entering a different world, a different dimension.
I'm Neville Stein, one of the trustees of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation. We know it's quite hard to find good information about horticultural careers, which is why we made this podcast. My guest on this episode of the podcast is Scott Smith, who will be familiar to millions of viewers through his work as head gardener and presenter of BBC Scotland's Beech Grove Garden. Horticulture has a well-established relationship with broadcasting, so let's find out what it's like to take your gardening from the garden to the studio.
So I'm rather excited about my guest this week, because this is the first time I've had a bit of a media star on the Cultivate Your Future podcast. My guest today is Scott Smith. He's the head gardener Beech Grove Gardens, which is up in Aberdeen in Scotland. And if you're a bit of a fan of watching gardening programmes, you'll have seen him as a presenter occasionally on the programme. Scott, welcome along.
Hello, fantastic to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Neville.
Delighted. And so you are a bit of a media star, is that right? You've got, what, 1.5 million viewers watching the Beech Grove Garden programme?
Yeah, that's about the average viewership over the course of a week. So we do have Thursday nights we're on BBC Scotland, and then Friday nights on BBC Two, followed by a repeat on Sunday mornings on BBC Two also.
The question is, do you get stopped in the street now?
Not yet. I don't think I've been at it long enough. I only started at the end of January this year. So far I've been recognised twice, and that's about it. And it's mostly senior ladies who stop me in the chemist and go, "Oh, I think I recognise you." Yes.
Brilliant. So the obvious progression after this is Strictly Come Dancing or I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I think I'd rather eat bugs than dance, for sure.
Okay. So rather than talk about your potential sort of media star career, should we talk about your career in horticulture? You are the head gardener at Beech Grove, as well as doing some presenting on the TV programme there. How long have you been doing that for?
So I just began at the end of January there. The previous head gardener, Mary, who I knew well, you know, up here in the northeast of Scotland, it's a small cluster of us gardeners, so we all know one another and all our own businesses and so on. So Mary actually left to be a nurse, so a complete career change. And then, of course, that left a slot open for Beech Grove. So I jumped at the opportunity and saw quite stiff competition. I was told there was people applying from Qatar and New Zealand and Singapore and all sorts of things, but I got the gig, so happy days.
What were you doing directly before you got the job at Beechrove?
Just before that, I was the head gardener for the National Trust for Scotland at Pitmedden Garden and Haddo House. So I was running two sites at once. Very, very busy job. I did that for about 4.5 years. And we had a roster of about 30-odd staff and volunteers and running multiple budgets and, you know, at very prestigious sites that was high maintenance and high expectations from visitors. So it was a lot of work.
And thinking about your job now at Beechrove, which is a much smaller garden, talk us through a typical day, really, of what your job involves.
So day-to-day it changes. Fundamentally, what's quite different about this job and what I really enjoy is you have to somewhat think about the garden as a green studio, because that's what it is. We're making a television programme. So it has multiple areas, multiple rooms. And really, my job as head gardener is to liaise with the production team and the presenters and find out what we're actually going to be doing in the coming weeks. So it's all written down in a central database. We've got a big planner. It's up to me to go look at that planner and say, right, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to be filming X, Y, Z. So then it's up to me to facilitate everything we need for that and to make sure those areas look nice and camera-friendly, because, you know, you don't want to be in an area that's full of weeds and mess. And I have to think about all the daft things, like it wastes a lot of crew time if you're standing filling trays on the set whilst there should be filming and that kind of thing. So it's even things like if we're doing direct sowing of a bed, I'll have it all measured out, I'll have the labels, I'll have the packets of seed. And because it's the BBC, we can't show the brands. So the seeds put in trays with labels so you know what they are. And it's as simple as I can be to get things to flow, because roughly they say 1 hour of filming is about 1 minute of television. So it takes quite a lot of time. So I try and maximise as much as I possibly can, having everything pre-organised so the presenters can rock up when they're good to go and do their piece. I feel sometimes like a little bit of a runner. I kind of make sure everything's tidied up and organised, and, you know, they might be about to start a set piece and I'll have to go get them a tool, or the grass is wet, get them a kneeler, or, you know, all these little things that you maybe don't really think about.
So in addition to your horticultural knowledge, it strikes me from what you just said that one of the key skills is that ability to plan or organise. Would that be about right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's crucial to have it all planned, all set out, all organised. And of course, that plays into your horticultural knowledge, because you'll have to know what to do and what the presenters are expecting of you. So, for example, every Tuesday we film, and it's a good full day. We're 8 till 6, roughly, filming. We've been doing dried flower trials, so, you know, I had to pre-select all the dried flowers and they're all hung up, and then I've got separate bunches in posies, and then I've got separate bunches with the labels, and then we're doing windowsill tomatoes, so I've been picking them all over, and you leave some on the plant so it looks nice and pretty for TV, but also we've got some set aside for tasting, and then I've also got a little crib sheet to say what we've picked so far this year, what's the weights, what's, you know, it's just all the information possible to hand so that we can relay that to the viewers, if you like.
That sounds very different from your job with the National Trust. Talk us through that time when you first got into horticulture. When was that, and what age were you?
I left school, went straight to university, didn't have a clue about what to do, and I went into cybersecurity. So I did a course called Ethical Hacking and Countermeasures at the University of Abertay. Very, very different start. I completed first year, got into second year, and went, you know, actually, this just isn't for me. You know, I don't like it. It's sitting in very dark rooms with fat, sweaty, geeky guys in trench coats and ponytails, and it just wasn't my scene. I wanted to be outside. I'd never considered horticulture as a career, because I feel fundamentally at school it is not pushed as a subject at all. You know, you never hear anything about it. The very most you possibly hear is if you're a bit of a failure, you could maybe go to college and do greenkeeping. You know, it's seen as a bit of a dirty trade for the unacademic, and my school certainly pushed us all to go to university because they were keen on getting us up the academic league tables. So I don't feel trades were represented well at the school I attended. But anyway, I went to university, didn't like the course. And once I left, I thought, what am I going to do with myself now? Because that's me, had all my funding. I've had my 2 years of free funding from the Scottish Government. I have to go pay for myself now. If I change course, I have to find the fees, and you're talking tens of thousands of pounds that I didn't have. So I just went to the job centre, thought I'll just take the very first job I can get, start saving up and try to go back to uni. But it just happened to be seasonal gardener with the National Trust for Scotland down in Fife at a place called Kelly Castle. So when I first showed up, I knew nothing at all about gardening. I wasn't a keen gardener. I had no interest in gardening. It was a job to get money. About a month in, I fell in love with it totally, because my boss, who's still probably my horticultural hero to this day, Mark Armour, he's still head gardener there now after 25 years, I think. But he just made the whole thing so fun, so interesting, really opened my eyes to seeing horticulture as a career path and not just a job. You know, so vast, and there's so much knowledge, and you know, I felt like a kid at Hogwarts who used to walk into that big castle grounds every day and everything looked fantastic and used to have such a laugh with the team. And it just made me think, yeah, I want to do this. And he was really kind. After my contract ran out, he pushed hard and he helped me get an apprenticeship, which just happened to be still with the National Trust up at Pitmedden Garden. So, you know, I went from a seasonal who was just doing it for a paycheck into someone that fell in love with it. And then thankfully, I managed to get an apprenticeship, and then that was me. I was stuck in the world of horticulture, quite happy, and just progressed my career through that, really.
Well, that sounds really cool. You said you fell in love with it. What was that moment when you thought that, wow, this is a great career, you know, well, this is a wonderful thing to do? What were those things that really excited you about it?
Like I say, it came to work in the morning, and just as soon as you got out of your car, it's like a different world. You'd open the garden gate, you know, this big, old, lovely Art Deco 1900s gate. And as soon as you swung it open, it was like entering a different world, a different dimension. You know, it was just so much flowers and fruit and veg everywhere, and this big, beautiful castle, and just lots of happy people, happy with what they were doing. And my boss said, it's not always about the paycheck. And I get that, because I don't know many rich gardeners, that's for sure, but you certainly see a lot of happy, contented people. I decided at that point, you know, I was originally doing my uni course for cybersecurity, and a lot of those guys are still in touch with them, and they do have six-figure salaries working in London, earning a fortune. But I thought, would I rather be doing that or doing what I'm doing now and enjoying myself? And I'd definitely rather be doing this, so.
You know, you make a really interesting point. There's a lot of money to be made in the IT world, isn't there? But, you know, you've got all those other additional benefits that are difficult to put a cost to or a value to in horticulture. I think actually, you know, to encourage you, six-figure sums can be made in horticulture. So, you know, hang in there. They are possible. Whilst perhaps the sector isn't as well paid as the IT sector, there are people that can earn six-figure sums. You just probably need to hang in there and find that six-figure sum job. You might not want that, but there you go. So thinking about your current job then, thank you for what you just told there about your history and how you got into horticulture. Really interesting. Let's focus on your current job now. What is it that you most like about the current job?
One thing that's always been very enjoyable to me about horticulture is that it is so varied. I find that I tend to get bored doing the same thing over and over. And the great thing with horticulture, especially when you're working in somewhere like Britain, is you've got four seasons and it's very variable throughout the year of what you do. You know, you do different jobs in winter to spring to summer to autumn. And not only that, but at Beechgrove, where I'm at the moment, it's very variable because different presenters have different ideas and they have different things they want to do. And that changes year upon year as well. So, for example, when I was at Pitmedden and Haddo, it was very much a big annual cycle. Okay, it changed from season to season, but it would be the same thing year to year because you were keeping a historic property to certain standards and not a lot changed. So after 2 to 3 seasons there, you kind of really got into the cycle and it was just rinse and repeat. Whereas Beechgrove, because it's a TV program that changes year upon year, it's always going to be varying. So that's one aspect I quite like about it. I like that I'm involved in quite a different amount of work, really, because I'm head gardener, so I have to do the hands-on gardening, but I also get to do some presenting, which is great fun. It's a very different skill set and a very different side of things, you know, having to explain on camera. Even just being in front of a camera takes a bit of getting used to, and especially if you're having to remember lines and you're having to remember to give different lines to different cameras and all that kind of thing, as well as doing your pieces. So, you know, just the other day I did tea budding live on camera, which was nerve-wracking because I only had one rootstock, and I thought, if I accidentally slice through this, I'm knackered. I had to do it properly on camera, no backup.
Just for those people that are listening, tea budding is a form of propagation, isn't it? Which involves sharp knives. And were you tea budding on roses?
Yes, it was tea budding roses. So I took some bud sticks off the roses I wished to propagate. And then I had a dog rose, a Rosa canina, for my rootstock. So I only had one Rosa canina. So if I mucked that up, I wouldn't have had anything to fill. And then I would have to go find something else very quickly to go and film a 5-minute segment on. So I thought, right, I better do this properly and I better do it right. And as you say, very sharp knives. So if you weren't confident and careful, you could have injured yourself or looked a bit foolish.
Well, let's hope that went all right. It looks like you've got all your fingers still intact there. So look, if you were to wave a magic wand about your career, and let's project, you know, forward 20 years, how do you envisage it playing out? You know, what do you think 20 years looks like for you in horticulture?
It's a very good question. I'm not entirely sure. I'm doing the RHS Master of Horticulture course at the moment. Part of that is future planning for myself, because I always had quite a strong work experience through my CV. You know, I was a seasonal, then an apprentice, then a full-time gardener, and yada, yada, yada. It wasn't really until 2016 that I started the RHS Level 3 diploma, because I thought, do I still want to be doing very hard physical graft when I'm 60? Not really. So I thought I would like to improve the academic side and my general knowledge. That's why I went to the RHS, did my Level 3 diploma, always hoped perhaps one day I'd be good enough to do the Master of Horticulture. Once I finished the Level 3 diploma, that was me. I applied and, you know, very gratefully I got in. So currently working through my Master of Horticulture again with a view to potentially finish then that, and there's always perhaps scope thereafter to do something else, maybe further academic work, I'm not sure. But generally, I suppose I'm still finding my niche. At the minute, I'm very much a generalist, you know, a bit of a jack of all trades, but maybe looking to specialise in one particular thing.
That concept of having a solid technical background and understanding horticulture, and then underpinning that or overlaying it, if you like, whatever phrase we might use, with that academic qualification, I think it's quite a powerful combination. So I think, you know, those two together should sort of rock your career. So I'm really looking forward to monitoring your progress on LinkedIn to see that you've used that academic success and knowledge to take your career to the next level. One final question for you. What was your best day at work? Whether that's at Beechgrove or with the National Trust, what was your best day at work?
Well, that very much feels like when somebody says, what's your favourite movie? I'm one of these people that just don't have a favourite movie. I've got a few and it depends what mood I'm in. So I'd have to say, if I was to cherry pick a few key moments, the first one would probably be at Pimenton Garden. I was basically project managed a big restoration project, which was designed by Chris Bierchoff, who's a Chelsea gold medal winner. So it was quite a prestigious project, really, to have Chris Bierchoff design it. And it was very much a case of, I got, here's your budget, here's the plans, on you go with it. So slightly daunting at first, but, you know, we just followed the process, followed all the steps, the things I learned through my RHS education, you know, scaling off the plans and double checking the measurements and then starting the groundworks and so on. So one of the best days was probably the launch party, because it was a culmination really of a year and a half to 2 years worth of hard graft. And it was very much just using the team. We didn't have any special additional help apart from, we had a surveyor for 2 days. and we had blacksmiths on site for 2 days to spot weld some of the paths, because it was metal, you know, arching metal paths which were MIG welded in place. Other than that, we did everything ourselves, all the digger work, all the turning over, we got the plants in, all the laying out, everything. So it was a fantastic project, and very grateful to be part of it.
So you're basically saying your best day at work was a party?
Absolutely. I got to drink cider and champagne on work times. It was great. Yeah. That's a lot to like.
That's a great answer.
My thanks to Scott Smith, head gardener and one of the presenters on Beechgrove Garden. If you'd like to see Scott at work, you can find the programme on BBC Scotland, BBC iPlayer, or their website, beechgrove.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.